Good evening. Calling the meeting to order. Welcome to the Board of Trustees meeting. All meetings are open to the public with the exception of closed session. Members of the audience who wish to address the board on any subject on tonight's agenda or during matters from the public are asked to complete speaker cards prior to addressing the board. Speakers are asked to come to the podium, state their name and affiliation to the district for the record, and limit their remarks to no more than 3 minutes, and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the board. The public may also speak to the board on subjects not on tonight's agenda during matters from the public, providing the topic falls within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Remarks must be limited to no more than 3 minutes and a maximum of 15 minutes to each subject matter to be invoked at the discretion of the board. As an unagendized item, no response is required from the board or district staff, and no action can be taken. However, the board may consider the item for a future meeting. Evergreen School District Board of Trustees or Board of Trustees meetings proceedings are audio recorded. Audio recordings of the proceedings are posted on the district website under board meetings. Official minutes are written, recorded, and approved by the Board of Trustees. Approved official minutes are also posted on the district website under board meetings. And calling for one is roll call. Jim?
Present.
Balaji?
Present.
Leela?
Present.
Bonnie?
Present.
Myself, present. And Superintendent?
I'm here.
Okay. And we just stand for the flag signatures.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Matters from the public. 2.1 comments from the California School Employees Association. Holly?
Good evening, Pauline Benton, President, CSCA Evergreen Chapter 432. Fall is here, cooler weather, changing leaves, and field trips to a pumpkin patch. We are 2 months into a new school year, and classified have been dealing with the effects of last spring's layoffs with the grace, dignity, and professionalism we are known for. One less custodian to keep our schools clean, one less MOT worker to keep our facilities in good repair, one less mechanic to properly maintain our buses, and numerous less ELD aides to service our English language learners. Also in the fall is election time. On November 6th, Evergreen residents will be voting on a new parcel tax for our district, which the San Jose Mercury News editorial board recently published a very nice endorsement for. And at the front of everyone's mind, whether we are district staff and our Evergreen residents, are 3 Board of Trustee positions up for election this year. At our Classified Chapter September meeting, we had a discussion regarding the upcoming trustee elections. The members agreed we needed to hear from the candidates and agreed to the idea of having a special meeting on the night of the public forum at Grace Church. A group of us met at Grace Church just enough for a quorum. We sat together at the back of the church and listened to the candidates. Afterwards, we met outside and shared our thoughts. Several of us, myself included, noticed that only one candidate specifically talked about classified. Yet again, the classified were left out of the discussions. Personally, I felt really annoyed and disappointed, but later, logic kicked in. I reminded myself that classified do not work for the fame and fortune. No one in public education does, but especially classified. We work hard for the students, families, and staff with fewer hours, fewer staff, and a lot less pay. Not only are we the heartbeat of the schools, I say we are the heart of the schools. We keep our schools clean and safe for the students and staff and provide essential support in the front office, the health office, the library, on the playground, and in the classroom. We make sure the students receive a healthy lunch every day they walk through the lunch line. We make sure our students are transported safely every single day in school buses that are properly maintained. We make sure our technology is up and running at all times. We make sure all the staff is enrolled in the health benefits they elect to take. We make sure all the staff receive their paychecks. We make sure our vendors get paid. We make sure school sites and district departments can purchase and receive the supplies and products they need. We make sure the student data so vital to receiving state funding is up to date and accurate. We make sure families have their questions answered when they reach out to the district office. And the list goes on and on and on. Most importantly, though, many of the classified, both active and retired, live here in Evergreen and are dedicated community members whose influence extends throughout the district. November 6th is fast approaching. Each of us, not just classified, have an opportunity and a civic duty to affect the future course of this district when we cast our votes in a few weeks. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Comments from the Evergreen Teachers Association, Brian Wheatley.
Actually, Suzanne will be speaking. I'm just the videographer.
Okay.
Thank you. Suzanne Lima, second grade Millbrook and ETA bargaining chair. I've been waiting for this opportunity to speak to you for a while. And I'm going to let you know right off the bat, I'm not going to sugarcoat any of it. Most of you are going to find what I talk about very unpleasant. But after dealing with the effects of the actions of this board majority and hearing the misinformation and at times outright lies by some of you, I can only assume you're in dire need of a history lesson when it comes to teachers and students of Evergreen. Maybe it will also clear up some of your own confusion about why 500 plus teachers feel so disrespected by this board that we are begging our community to put students first and elect new board members. So let me start with this. The teachers of this district have not only spent our entire careers meeting the needs of our students, but we have also compromised with this administration during the most difficult years of the recession, ensuring our district remained fiscally solvent while continuing to educate our students. We endured years of 0% salary increases. At the same time, changes in our healthcare that shifted costs from district to employees, slashed classroom budgets, and significant increases in workload when we had K-3 go from 20-1 to 24-1. And while teachers endured not only rapidly rising costs of living with stagnant wages and increases in workload, the district grew its reserve from $12.5 million at the start of the recession to nearly $21 million at its height in 11-12, nearly seven times the state mandate. And even when state funding finally started to recover, rather than recognize that it was employees' sacrifices that kept this district going, we still had to deal with the same unreliable sky-is-falling projections that never, ever came to fruition. Furthermore, this district has been incredibly negligent in dealing with the very serious problem of declining enrollment. We have lost 2,500 students in the last few years, and we're projected to lose more. Contrary to what some on this board tell our community, declining enrollment has nothing to do with our attractiveness. It's not anyone's fault. It's a result of the astronomical housing prices, cost of living, and a birth rate that declined during the recession. However, our funding is based on enrollment. So if we do not consolidate schools, all students will continue to be faced with cuts like increased class sizes and slashed programs. In a moment, I'm going to show you, contrary to what the administration states and some of the board members believe, teachers are becoming less and less of a priority to this district. That though we continue the important work of educating our future, oftentimes with less resources and less district time to adequately learn all of the curriculum that we need to do, we are falling behind our peers both in surrounding districts as well as our peers with similar education levels in the private sector. So we're going to take a look at the facts. I'm going to present to you some of the things that were from our binder. And all of the information came from district documents. They came from unaudited actuals, interim reports, July budgets, and J90s. So I'm going to hand you each one of these.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've seen this.
I have it.
So you see, are you good?
Yes.
Thank you for convincing us.
But this isn't the binder.
No, it's not.
This is one little section of the binder. So, and I'm not going to go through every single one just because of time, so I'm just going to highlight a couple, and I would appreciate when you have time if you would go through some of the other ones.
And just to let you know, the board received a copy of the binder as well.
Okay, because I was unsure from some of the things that I've been hearing through different sources. So fact number one, the district's effort to provide bargaining unit salaries has declined significantly over the last 6 years. So if you just flip the page, there you can see when we talk about percent of total outgo, how much the district is spending each year. Bargaining certificated salaries in 12-13 were 50.78% of total outgo. In 17-18, it had dropped to 43.87%. Fact two, though the district regularly asserts an increasing expenditure in the area of health benefits, spending in this area has consistently declined in relation to percent of total outgo. Furthermore, with the district switch to CISC, the decline will become even more pronounced. And then you can see those are the projections from the CBO. So if you turn the page, well, this is all employee health benefits, by the way. It's not just our group. In 12-13, it was 15.17% of total outgo. In 17-18, 12.91%. Fact number three, with the implementation of LCFF, the district began seeing yearly increases in revenue. Rather than seeing a maintenance of effort in total salary and benefit costs, there's been a significant decline in percent of total outgo in that area. So again, we're looking at total salary and benefits. In 12-13, 88.97%. In 17-18, 85.39%. I just have two more that I'm going to talk about. There's like 11 of them, but I'm going to just do two more. Fact number four, and this one's really important. Despite multiple claims of impending district insolvency and first interim reports of qualified status, this district has always stayed well above the mandated 3% reserve. Additionally, in the June budget, the district is projecting a measurable increase to the reserve. So if you turn the page, here's the total unrestricted ending balance. And you can see the 3%, that's the state mandate. And you can see we are always well above that 3%. And then if you just kind of flip it to the next one, you can see here was a three-year projection of the ending balance. So in 15-16, the projection was that 17-18, there'd be $13.4 million. In 16-17, that was changed to $23.1 million. When the unaudited actuals actually came out, the unending balance was $26.4 million. These are not reliable indicators of what is going to happen in our district. And the last one, I just want you to go to 7. So if you can go to fact 7. And please, when you have time, look at the rest of them. Salary increases for certificated employees over the last 10 years have not kept up with inflation. So if you look at the chart, you can see in 07-08, we got 4.05%, and then 5 years of 0%. And that's when everything was really going bad in the economy. Finally, we were able in 13-14 to get the 3%. It was not retroactive. 14-15, 3.25. 15-16, 4, not retroactive. And then 2%. And so far, we do have the TA, but so far we're at 0% for last year. If you look at the total, we are not even 16.3% in cost of living, 29.1%. This is sad. We are not a priority to this district. So keeping that kind of to the side, I have just a couple little things to tell you that. Besides those facts that show a district that does not value the very people that make the biggest impact on the students of Evergreen, teachers have endured outright lies by some of the members of this board. First, we have never proposed more than a 0.5% salary increase during the 17-18 bargaining dates. And just in case you don't believe me, I have a copy of our proposal.
Thank you.
So, our very first proposal came in January. And you can see the very first thing we asked for is a 0.5%. And the second outright lie that I've heard is that we asked for full payment of our president's compensation. But again, if you look at this first proposal, that is not true. We asked to reimburse the district for BA plus 30 step 5. as a way to recognize the fact that having a full-time release president is a value to the district as well. He is able to attend to issues both policy and personnel immediately. He is able to represent teachers at district committees and events that happen in the middle of the day when everyone else is teaching. However, that issue was pretty much moot since if you check our second proposal, which was a month later, we had already dropped that. And in place of that item, we had the looking into a JPA to realize the district's savings, which as we all know, without the help of this board, we were able to have an advisory vote and then help the district move to SIS before the clock ran out and we were able to realize those savings. But maybe one of the most frustrating of all lies by some of the members on this school board is that this board is not for raising class sizes and cutting student programs. Here, where is it?
Is this relevant?
Yeah.
Is this within the purview?
I'm sorry, but that was very rude. Am I not allowed to speak at a board meeting?
I've given her the floor. Let her finish.
Well, what is that?
Let her finish.
Okay, Suzanne.
Here is the district's proposal, which is either directed by the board or approved by the board. It's 23 pages of nothing but cuts. No improvement to student programs, no talk of smaller class sizes. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. And without teachers collectively standing up against the district and the board, our students would have suffered the effects of those cuts. Cuts that would have seriously eroded the quality of education in Evergreen. We were the only ones between our students and higher class sizes for our youngest children. We were the only ones between them and an art program slashed in half. We were the only ones between them and losing highly qualified teachers. Because no amount of double talk or misrepresentation can change the fact that avoiding school consolidation as we continue to bleed students will not come at a cost to students and programs. I told you it was going to be unpleasant. The damage this board has done is almost immeasurable. You brought us to the brink of a strike with both your actions and your inactions. For the first time in our entire history, Evergreen School District was facing the very real possibility, one that even felt imminent, of a strike because of this board and administration. A strike that would have been extremely painful for teachers and students, but at the same time necessary to ensure continued student programs in class size numbers. We pushed the district to do the right thing for our students. We demanded better for our families, and we are the ones responsible for this agreement. And we're not going to let you get away with taking any credit for it.
Moving on to 2.3, comments from the public. We have Chris Corpus and Jeff Beckley. And Patricia Andrade.
My goodness, I really love data. That was a lot of information and that's some good stuff right there. I'm turning into a one-trick pony at school board meetings, and that is to advocate for the passage of Measure EE. That remains the number one thing that needs to be solved because all the other very important issues of teacher support and classified support will become almost moot if we don't pass Measure EE. And the only reason I say that is we need to get out there and walk the precincts, make phone calls, and get the people that have supported us over the many years to continue to support us. And that can only be done through Mailer's help, but you know the people, you know the community, and in my case, many of the community are now voting members since I'm an old guy. So we need to go out and make those contacts with the folks that do remember how great, not remember how great Evergreen was. We still are, but we need to, that money is so very important because it is about class size, And it is about staffing, and it is about keeping art and music in schools. Every door knocked on, that's became an important issue. It's like, what about art and music? And that is unfortunately only possible through Measure EE, because the budgets still remain very tight. So again, simply, let's get out there and make sure that Measure EE passes. Let's not think that, woe is us, it looks like it's bad, it looks like it may not pass. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm going to continue to walk and make phone calls and make sure that people know the importance of passing Measure EE. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Jeff Buckley, O.B. Whaley. Back from the brink and in the nick of time, a strike so far avoided, a strike which would be a crime. A crime attributed to this board and this district's leadership, who wanted to take from children and teachers, who wanted to create unwarranted hardship. For the people who work hard to make this district great, the children and the teachers who carry most of the weight. It's amazing that you allowed it to get as far as it did. Apparently, you were never taught to steer into the skid. You fought us tooth and nail over the smallest of concessions. In your little quest for power, you showed some serious aggressions. Aimed at children and teachers. Aimed at those who make the district great. Aimed at children and teachers. Aimed at those who truly carry the weight. But it is not over yet, not until you, the board, takes a vote. And voting yes is the only cure, the only antidote. If you vote no, which would be silly to do, a strike would again be imminent, and unfair labor practice problems too. This evening you have a choice, so do the right thing. I know it's foreign to you, but step up, take a swing. You'll find it's much better, you might even feel good, about treating children and teachers well the way any school board should. This could be your last chance to help all involved gain, to right all your wrongs, to save Abel from Cain. And then you can leave when the public hopefully votes you gone. Leave because your pros do not outweigh your cons. One big con that heavily seems to outweigh the rest are the statements made in your campaigns, of which many are false at best. One has stated that he's trying to protect two Title I schools from closing. Lord, what is not Title I? Check your facts before disclosing. And to post old pictures of times past to mislead voters into thinking that Evergreen teachers support you, Mr. V, what have you been drinking? And more misleading statements asserting on next door things that are so untrue. We've never asked for more than 0.5%. That is a simply a lie through and through. And teachers have never asked the district to pay our ETA president's total cost. This is simply another falsehood, Mr. Z. Once again, over the truth you have glossed. Trying to obfuscate the facts only shows that integrity is lacking. Character is such an important thing, and by lying, you give your own a shellacking. You both really need to check your facts, because your facts checker has obviously been lax. Evergreen has been in decline since present leadership took the helm. Since several of you came to this board, there has been no peace within Evergreen's realm. We hear there's even whispers of merit pay, which simply could not and would not ever work. You should attend to your own merits first, and let those who learn and teach get back to work. So make your vote, make it right tonight, and don't drag Evergreen's children and teachers into another long and terrible fight, because we will win.
Patricia?
Before we're not told it was more than 5%.
Good evening, members of the board and audience. My name is Patty Andrade, and I am a parent from both Quimby Middle School and Carolyn Clark Elementary. I am here this evening to ask that you vote in support of the tentative agreement that was reached by the dedicated teams on behalf of the ETA and the district. With the guidance of a mediator, both teams stay until almost 2 a.m. working to reach the agreement that you now have. They are the ones that we should all be thanking, because prior to their hard work and long hours, the only thing we had was nothing. Let us make sure to give credit where credit is due. With the parties that were in attendance on September 17th into the wee hours of September 18th.
As a parent, the tentative agreement was cause for much celebration. I know the PTAs at both of our schools quickly implemented all our events, as we also had to prepare for the worst. Teachers, admin, other staff members, parents, students, and the community at large all felt the impact of negotiations. This isn't the way that it should be. We never should have gotten to this point. It is appalling to me that there are members of this board that have taken credit for this agreement. Let me make this clear. You had nothing to do with it, because if you had, then we would have reached an agreement a lot sooner. The tentative agreement is the first step towards our district moving forward, and I am excited to the positive changes that will come after November 6th. Thank you.
Moving on to consent items.
Okay.
All right.
Consent items. 3.1, approval of board meeting minutes, September 13, 2018. 3.2, approval of board special minutes, September 20th, 2018. 3.3, approval of board special meeting minutes, October 2nd, 2018. 3.4, approval of board special meeting minutes, October 16, 2018. 3.5, ratification of contracts. 3.6, ratification of September warrant list. 3.7, ratifications of facility use agreements. 3.8, acceptance of donations to Evergreen School District. 3.9, approval of William quarterly report. 3.10, approval of board policy BP4140, bargaining units. 3.11, approval of board policy BP3515.7, firearms on school grounds. And 3.12, approval of these items.
So I'm going to pull 3.4.
Okay. It's been pulled. Any others?
No.
Okay. All those in favor of all the items minus 3.4?
Aye.
And pass. Okay, 3.4. Bonnie?
So on 3.4, I just wanted to make a clarification that the motion was, so do you want me to just amend it this way, Catherine?
I think you could just amend the minutes to reflect that the resolution is to amend the current Evergreen School District administrative salary schedule to include a salary schedule for the chief business officer.
Terrific. So that's my motion.
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair is aye. The motion passes. Okay, then we go on to four items for immediate discussion and action.
Can we
motion?
Okay, good. Jim.
I'd like to change the order of the day, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I'd like to move items number 4-7, 4-8, and 4-9 to the top.
Okay.
To be heard before item 4-1.
Is there
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we move items 4.7, 4.8, 4.9 to the top. All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair is aye. Motion passes. Okay, 4.7 is public disclosure of provisions of collective bargaining agreement per AB 1200. Evergreen School District and Evergreen Association. Mary.
Good evening, board members. I'm going to try not to yell. Because this was up pretty high. So what you have in front of you, in the packet, there was the 6-page collective bargaining agreement public disclosure that was submitted to the County Office of Education. But instead, I took it and turned it into a PowerPoint recap of what was included in that 6-page document. And also in your packet was the review letter from the results of the County Office of Education looking into that disclosure. I spent the better part of a week back and forth with them. They asked all kinds of backup, recaps, recalculations, where did this number come from, where did that number come from. So the result was that they submitted the letter to you as a result of their review, they felt at the multi-year projection in 2020-2021 that the district would meet its minimum reserve. So that was important for them to come to that conclusion. So the next slide, please. This summary, this is a combined general fund, unrestricted and restricted. You've seen many of these numbers before because they're repeating unaudited actuals and items I've brought to you. It assumes the continued implementation of the $16 million in increased revenues, decreased expenditures that you've adopted in the past. The revenue line is amended. I'm sorry, I should have had more copies made for everyone.
No, it's okay. As long as you turn it sideways, okay. So you can see it.
I'm not used to being this interested. The first line in the two out years in 1920 and 2021, the $632,000 I mentioned to you at unaudited actuals, that the early enrollment figures showed a decline further than what had been projected for 18-19. And so since you're in a whole harmless position, that would then affect the two out years. That number may brighten because the census data on October 4th was about 15 better. But still, it's good to recognize that, and that's a placeholder for the future. Then, this is assuming Measure EE passes. You may recall that the TA has terms that are different depending on whether Measure EE passes or whether it fails. And I offered to the county office to redo all six pages with the assumption that the EE did not pass, but they were fine with the multi-year projection I provided to them, and they didn't want me to redo all that work. So this is assuming, optimistically, of course, Measure EE does pass. If that happens, then parcel tax revenues that have been previously applied to class size reduction expenses would now be available, and the budget was for $1,528,000 of that amount. Those figures were provided by Nellie. She had done a complete calculation based on the number of parcels, amounts have to be paid for certain expenditures of the county, etc. And then I also separate out the line of the other half of that would be towards items that the board may choose to continue in the budget. So the kind of a tan line, it doesn't show up very clearly here, but the second line of parcel tax revenues for future board action is offset then by under expenditures about two-thirds of the way down, also in tan, in the out years, 1920-2021, $1,449,000. If you wanted to continue the musical department expenditures, library, that sort of thing, that'd be up to the future board. So those revenues coming in then adjusted the total revenues. The expenditures then represent the TA between ESD and ETA and certain certificated employees. So what I reflected here is the 0.5% retro, 17-18 salary and statutory benefits. First appearing in 18-19 because that's when it will be paid, can't affect the 17-18 closed books. So at first is an expenditure of 18-19, but it's for the prior year. That then becomes a base, so that's why it's repeated in 18-19. Then we add the 1.5% 2018-19 salary and statutory benefits, effective July 1st of 2018. That's the $775,000 figure. I'm in the second column of figures from the left over about midway. Then the next line of the terms was 2.5%, 1920, salary and statutory benefits, ETA represented and certain certificated employees, effective February 1st, 2020. That shows then as a half year. In 1920, it's $651,000. And then the second year out being 2020-21, fully implemented for the year at $1,297,000. Again, these numbers are ETA and certain represented certificated staff. They're not the other units. The other units have not met and negotiated and come forward. So also in those terms was to reduce the trust from $100 a month of employer contribution per employee effective January 1st of this year, from $128.50 per month to $100 a month. Implemented in 18-19 mid-year is $85,042 in savings, $171,784 the two further out years. So that became a new expenditure total line, and then the surplus or deficit lines are shown for you. You're still deficit spending in the two out years. But the reflection of that, I'll show you on the next page. The base unrestricted and restricted balances, how they become the new projected ending balances, should this TA be adopted and approved. So I'm just going to go to the next slide. I just pulled that line up to the top so you can continue to follow it. The designations of the ending fund balances include revolving cash and stores, maintenance reserves, and restricted towards various restricted programs such as the new Clean Energy Jobs Act money and lottery money that's only for instructional materials. The $3 million you had committed in 17-18 is now helping. It's part of that $16 million support for the other years, so that is now no longer in the three out years. The reserve for economic uncertainty that is reflected, the one, two, three, fifth line from the bottom, is at the 3% of expenditures for those years, including the TEA totals. And it shows that there are $14 million in additional reserves that were in 17-18 with closed books, $19,390,000 in 18-19 projected, $12 million in 19-20, and then it drops because of the continued deficit spending in this case, to $1,769,000. Again, doesn't include the other units, the net result of those units' costs potentially. So for the reason that where the big purple arrow is, that the reserves fund 4.43% at this point in time with these projections, the county office approved reviewed and came up with the same conclusion.
Can we bring that back?
Yeah. Question?
She's going to put it back on the wall. Sam's going to put it back on the wall. Thank you, Sam. Magic.
Okay, questions?
So you're not discussing what would happen if the, you can't really mention it from up here, but additional funding isn't secured.
You mean if Measure EE does not pass?
Thank you.
We had run those numbers, and the county office saw what they reflected. They actually a little brighter in imbalance, because even though $1.5 million in the past has been set aside in the budget towards class size reduction, mm-hmm. with the turns of TK to K go to 25-1, and 1-3 go to 27-1, which mm-hmm. is proposed if Measure EE does not pass, the projection was that $1.7 million would be the savings in 17 teacher reductions.
Will we be able to, if we wanted to, save class size if we don't get that supplemental funding secured?
Are you asking if Measure E does not pass,
but we're not supposed to measure it? I didn't mention it, but okay.
But you can measure it. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Okay.
It's not a.
Yeah.
So your question is, if EE does not pass, will we be able to keep class sizes where they currently are?
That's the question.
If you wanted to make almost $2 million in cuts somewhere else.
So that would be November 7th that you would know for certain where that stood, and that would be right at the time that the first interim report is being developed. And so when the business office brought the first interim report back to you, you would see the results of what that would look like, and then you would have to make decisions at that point as to whether you need to make further reductions. In particular, the first interim report is a real drill down into where we stand right now for this year, and then echoes in the two out years.
So how soon would it be recommended, assuming, again, we have to prepare for all situations, if EE doesn't pass, if I'm allowed to say that, how soon would it be recommended that we would need to raise class sizes?
For the next school year.
For the next school year.
That would be
so passing this TA, how much is allocated toward salary increases for the final year, the 2021 year?
The slide before?
Or the previous.
We're talking about ETA and certain certificated employees. It's the $252,000 echo from the 17-18.5, the $775,000 for the 1.5, and then $1,200,000 for the full 2.5%. So what is that? $2,200,000, $2,300,000 approximately?
So I'm just looking at the 2.5%. I'm just looking at year three. And that's,
you're looking at 2021.
Correct.
Fully implemented is $1,297,000.
$1,297,000, and that's just that one.
Just the 2.5.
Just that one bargaining unit, because we have two other bargaining units to deal with.
But they're minor.
Right?
Actually,
one bargaining
unit. No, admin and...
Well, management's not represented,
management
but yes.
Management doesn't bargain, but...
Okay. Two other groups.
Two other groups.
I'm sorry. Let me be precise, because that's... Right, two other groups that we would have to deal with. Right? Okay. So...
Excuse me, can we have it quiet? I know we need to get this discussion so that Mary can hear it clearly.
So my...
Thank you.
I don't know if there's three parts to this, right? We got to hear public hearing as well, which is 4-8. So I just want to get some facts first, and then I guess we can have the discussion afterwards. Okay, so this is just the one, which makes sense because that's the only one we're voting on tonight. And you're saying about 1.2 million for just that 2.5% in the third year.
1.297, yes.
That's what reflected in the third year. It would have been the 651,000 when it's implemented in 1920.
Sure, yeah. But the ongoing is 1.3.
Yes.
And the ongoing to keep class size at the current level, we're estimating to be approximately 2?
1.7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So class size at the current level costs us 1.7. And the change in salary for year three on is 1.3. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do we need to do
anything? We have to approve. There's no action on this disclosure. It's simply disclosure. And so if the board has asked their questions of Mary, then we can go on to 4-8, which is public hearing.
Can I ask a question? Because usually what we do with these is you approve, how it's done in the past, is we approve the AB 1200 and then we vote on. I've never had a case in which we don't approve. We've done this the last couple of times. I mean, if we don't have to, it's fine. But usually we approve the AB 1200 and then we vote on the...
Mary, you accept it. I don't know if you...
No, we just have...
Okay, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you accept the county's review.
Yeah, now you just report out that the 1200 was okay with the county.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, now we go to 4.8, which is the public hearing. So I'm opening up the public hearing on the collective bargaining agreement. And we have Brian Willey, who would like to speak to this.
Sure, if I'm supposed to speak here at the public hearing or before you actually vote, I was going to make a request to put aside political expediency in favor of personal integrity, but it sounds like I was too late. So hopefully the vote will proceed.
Okay, thank you. So 4.9, approval of Evergreen School District, ESD, and Evergreen Teacher Association ETA collective bargaining agreement for 2017. 2018-19, and 2019-20.
Carol's
going
to speak to this.
Hi, Carol.
Good evening. The district and the Evergreen Teachers Association reached a tentative agreement after a long year of negotiations and a fact-finding hearing. The tentative agreement, as you heard, was reached by the parties in the wee hours of the morning. ETA ratified the agreement on Wednesday, September 26th, and I ask for the board's approval this evening.
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Conversation.
Okay, discussion.
Conversation. So I'll go first.
Okay.
So I'm going to support this TA in the interest of stability, but I have two things I want to point out on public record. One of them is that I have publicly said this, and I do support low class sizes. So I am praying, hoping that Measure EE passes. I'm doing my best to help. But if it doesn't pass, we as a board, whoever is on this board, is going to have to look at some serious issues in the new year. So I am predicating my vote yes on the assumption that it's going to pass and hoping that it will. The second thing is that in the out year, right now, because of the way it is, and as Mary pointed out, we have positive certification, but we still are running a structural deficit. That's going to continue. And so this board needs to be cognizant, whoever's on here, of the fact that we need to really be careful about how we spend money and be frugal as we go forward, because we are still doing a structural deficit. So even though we have positive certification, we're going to have that structural deficit going forwards with the addition of these things. So I will be supporting the motion. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Mayor?
I will also be supporting the motion. And thank God for fact-finding. It seemed like we should put that at the first of everything because as a board member, I know it's the process. I'm just saying, fact-finding is interesting because you find some interesting facts. I have been on this board. I have seen numerous budgets and amounts, what you have, what you don't have, what this is and what that's not is, how things are changing. One minute you have this amount and the next minute you don't. That's a little bit disturbing to me because it's like you can never get a toehold on what it is actually is. And that's why I said I love the fact finding. And I want to thank both teams for putting in the energy and time. I know it was a lot of work. In fact, I think some of the board members were up, you know, rooting that things would go through too, and it doesn't matter who get the credit for it. What matters is that we are trying to move our district on in a positive way to support our students. That's what matters to me. And also, I just want to echo about the Measure EE. We really, really need to pass that because we want to keep Evergreen Special. We want to keep those class sizes down. We want to keep the programs that we have. So, but if that is not the case, which I hope, I pray, it passes, what I don't want to find myself in, and I've asked this, could somebody do me a 22-23 year out of the budget, what it would look like, which I was told that could not be done.
No,
that you can't do it. But I would like to see what this budget is going to look out in a few more years down the road because we went through some things this year where we had to make some hurtful cuts. And I want to give everybody everything that they want and that they need. But I just want to make sure that we are doing what's right and that everybody can benefit. So I am in support of this and thank God for fact finding.
Okay.
I too think fact finding did discover new facts, right? After 18 months of, we were 4 million down and we were 22 million down and finally we are 3 million up, right? So after all this, I think fact-finding did help us. And after 18 months of painful negotiation, I'm personally happy that there's a TA in place, that we could give raises, cost savings due to the CISC healthcare. And for me personally also, we did that while keeping the two schools open. That was important for me. That's what I said when I did my interview when I was appointed. And so that was important for me. So I think it's time to move forward. But as other trustees have said, this is the time to come together and get EE passed. If EE doesn't pass, then all the things that we fight for, which is small class sizes that teachers want, that students want, communities want, we want arts, library, safety, all that is in jeopardy, right? And we will have to make more difficult cuts. So we should definitely get together and make sure that EE passes. That's extremely important. Put everything else aside and get EE passed.
Excuse me, Jim. I know you're going to talk next, but Kathy, can you just remind me if, what did you say, if we didn't get that passed, we would have to make how many
The question was if we didn't pass EE and we've kept class sizes where they currently are, what would it cost?
Right.
No, so I think, yeah, so sorry, Lila, but I think the other question, which we'd like to have on the record here because it's good and I care about it, is for the public to understand, because like Lila said, we want people to understand what the ramifications are if EE does not pass. What is the amount of cuts? 3 million, right? the amount that we currently are supporting through EE is about $3 million, right? More or less, 2.9.
Well, the amount of revenue we will get from EE is $3
million. Correct. So if we don't get that $3 million in revenue, we will have to figure out how to get that revenue. That's
what would be $3 million in cuts?
It would be changes to class size, which would automatically happen given the current collective bargaining agreement or the one that the board's going to vote on. And then we have the other items that are paid for with Measure EE, which include some support for music teachers, APs.
Art, music, library, art, library, safety.
Yes.
APs.
Yes.
So the question going back, the more precise question is, if we heard from Suzanne, Ms. Lima, that they fought for class sizes, small class sizes, mm-hmm. which we all say we want. So if you keep the small class sizes.
Can somebody please?
If you keep the small class sizes, then we have to find savings somewhere else. Is there FTE reduction that we would have to make, and if so, what is the number? Do we have a projection? Numbers can change depending on enrollment and how the class sizes fit and all that, but what is there a projection?
Yes, it's 17 FTE.
Okay.
If, yes.
So if EE doesn't pass, and we all want EE to pass, if EE doesn't pass, and we try to keep the small class sizes small, which is what every stakeholder in this district wants, it's a 17 FTE reduction. So I just want to make sure that everyone understands that.
I'd like to interject that we have a governor's race, and that governor can change a lot of things in terms of he may not be
sure.
quite so.
Exactly. The revenue can go up, enrollment can go down. Right.
That's really to be determined after November.
Okay.
Jim?
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to get to, and that's where my questioning was going. If we approve this TA, then we're guaranteeing salary increases in the amount of, what was that, over $2 million, almost $3 million per year ongoing.
Okay.
Right? The last year is $1.2 million, just in the 2.5% in the last year. You made a statement, and I'd just like you to ask you to clarify. You said that the class sizes would go up automatically. Is it automatically, or would it still have to be go before that board at the time to make that decision?
We would staff classes with that change in class size. If the board at that time wanted to not do that, if they came and they said, look, we don't want to change class size, we want to keep the class size, my response back to the board is going to be, unless with the new governor, there will be a new governor and people are saying there's going to be more money. So let's hope. But it would be, okay, as things stand now, where do you want to get those funds?
So, and when would that decision have to be made?
Probably
after the governor.
Right, February.
Yeah. So February.
March. After the governor.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's when the layoffs need to be. Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna echo the comments about fact finding. The fact that we went to fact finding was very valuable. It gave us information that we would have never had before. 3 days before this was negotiated, this board was presented with information that still said we needed to find $2 million plus in concessions. Right. Only through the fact-finding, those last 3 days, did we find out that things changed. There were some accounting things that were done that were totally above. You know, it's not like we cooked the books or anything, but we were able to do some accounting maneuvers that allowed us to save money in the current year, okay, that allowed this to occur. So I think that the process did what it was supposed to do, and that is it allowed us to get together and get down to the brass facts, because you had one side saying X and another side saying Y, and it only when when the third party came in and said, no, it's not X, it's not Y, it's Z, did we see a difference? Now, I'm still a bit concerned that from the beginning, I have said, I will not support an increase to class sizes. I said 4 years ago, and I said 8 years ago before that. My concern is that if I approve, or I vote to approve, if I support this, okay, I don't want it misconstrued that I'm supporting raising class sizes, because I'm not. And this is why I'm concerned about the automatic statement, the statement of automacy that was made.
But that's the contract, that's the TA.
No, I understand that it says it could.
It could go.
The board can say the board could say we want class sizes at 15. Contractually, we can put them at 25. Contractually, the agreement that we have with the Teachers Association is we can put 25, 27 students in those classes. The board can say we want to go lower than that.
Let me ask one other question. Let's be optimistic and say EE passes. This only holds class sizes at the current level through the end of this contract. Is that correct?
That stays the status quo.
Right.
So it has to be negotiated differently after the
2021. Right. So at the end of, what is it, 2021? You start.
During 2021.
2021, you start again. And again, there's no guarantee. It's not like we have EE passing and therefore the class sizes stay current for 7 years. Because don't forget, EE is a 7-year parcel tax.
Right.
Right? So just because EE passes does not mean that given the red ink that I'm seeing here as far as deficit spending, that we're still going to have a question to ask at the end of 2021, it may still be the case that that becomes a bargaining.
That's right. That is correct.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Because double E passing doesn't guarantee. Unfortunately, my wording would have been to maintain, but that wasn't what was approved. It was to keep small class sizes, which means at the end of 2021, class size can still be a question, even though the parcel tax is in place.
Of course, in the bargaining process, it can be a question.
Right.
That is correct.
So I am very concerned that we are spending a lot of money to guarantee wages, which is fine, right? But that we're going to end up having to increase class sizes. So I'm just going to say this. I will very cautiously support this TA with the knowledge that if I am here on the board, I will not, and I say this on record, I will not support a raise to class sizes. And I'm very happy we've been able to bring this TA. And again, as Balaji said, we did not have to close schools. Instead, through the two committees that were created, we were able to find the potential of revenue that may very well keep those schools open and allow them joint use and have a revenue stream that's equal or better than closing those schools.
Okay, thank you. Now everyone has said their say. I would like to have mine. I would like to thank the two teams that worked very hard, not just for the TA, but throughout this whole process. Thank you very much. It takes a lot because I've been at the table myself, and I know what it takes. And I want to thank you both the teams for Evergreen School District and for ETA, the Teachers Association. I tend to be a little bit more optimistic, being that we have a governor that's going to come in, different philosophy, may not be quite so tight with the budget, and hopefully will lift some of the responsibility of the pension that we are carrying, that Jerry Brown passed on to us, hopefully the governor, which I intend to do with some of my free time, just to spend some time in Sacramento talking to some legislators about making that change, and also how we fund our schools, especially since we're losing enrollment. It's ludicrous to be only receive money based on the fact that you have kids in a classroom. So anyway, I thank all of you, really, for all the work and the teachers for their patience. Our management, it wasn't easy to be on this end. And I'm hoping, I will definitely feel very hopeful moving forward with this TA as we vote on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
there a motion?
There's been a motion by me.
And second?
I seconded it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Show the chair is aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. How about a chair?
Okay, now I think we go up to 4.1. Rick?
No, it's not Rick. It's Dan.
Dan, sorry, Dan.
Let's go ahead, man.
Oh, maybe we should give Officer a chance.
Camila wants to go to the restroom, so don't
okay,
so
we'll take, we'll have to take a little 2-minute break.
Yeah, that's that.